I'm Angela Ross, and this is SoCal Voices. Black unemployment and underemployment remain serious issues throughout Southern California. The Inland Empire Black Worker Center serves as a resource to help people look beyond low-wage jobs and carve a path to higher-wage work that can help them thrive. Here to tell us more about that is Dominique Dean, community organizer with the Inland Empire Black Worker Center. Dominique, welcome to SoCal Voices. What is IEBWC?
Yes, that's a great question. And that is a question that I often get, you know, what is a Black Worker Center? And actually, we are one of 9 Black Worker Centers across the U.S. We're one of 3 in Southern California. We were founded by what we call the godmother of the movement, of the Black Worker Movement in Southern California. Her name is Lola Smallwood. And she started the LA Black Worker Center, which has been open for 12 years. There's the San Diego Black Worker Center, and then there's also the Inland Empire Black Worker Center, and that's us. And what we intend to do is, across all 3 Black Worker Centers, provide low-wage education, to incubate 1 Black worker voice, and to focus on some of those issues that we don't just experience in the hiring process, but some of that racial discrimination that we might also experience on the job. And specifically here at the IEBWC, what we focus on is, you know, bringing justice, jobs, and dignity. And essentially what we want to do is build a Black worker space, you know, that focuses on not just the economic security, but also the emotional security of us as Black folks, because sometimes we don't share our experiences, but a lot of our experiences are the same, because what we are experiencing is not exclusive to a certain region. It's exclusive to us as Black folks, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what we do is, you know, we organize and we advocate. So we organize for power. And with this power, what we can do is we can change corporate and private policies, and we demand equity and good paying jobs, as well as develop local leadership and create entry level job opportunities as well.
That's fantastic. I want you to talk a little bit about some of the common things that you hear that Black workers experience, you know, through either the interview process or after they get hired, some of the things that people are dealing with, and why this organization is necessary to help address those issues.
Yes, another great question. Thank you so much, Angela, for posing these questions, because, you know, sometimes these aren't conversations that we have or that we feel comfortable having. But through doing orientations, I've found that a lot of us experience discrimination on the jobs. I've had people share stories with me about being told, like, we don't hire your kind, or people who have been to jail and they have felonies and they can't find employment, or their employment is centered in low wage work. And that's the case for a lot of us as Black folks. Our work is centered in low wage careers or in temporary positions. And we're here to support the 350,000 Black IE residents who seek, you know, to provide a living for their families. And actually, 85% of Black folks, they applied for unemployment the first year of the pandemic. And according to December 2021 job reports, it showed unemployment has went down for every race except for Blacks, meaning we were not the first to lose our jobs, but we're the last to get them back. And what we consider this is the Black job crisis, which is unemployment, underemployment, and systematic racism. So an organization like the IEBWC is needed in order to provide that space for us to organize. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed, but after every large movement, such as like civil rights movement, the women's rights movement, the Me Too movement, after every movement, legislation is passed, which shows that everything is deeply rooted in policy, right? So the only way to move policy is to organize and to advocate. Because it's different, like I tell some of our participants, you know, it's different when I'm the community organizer and I'm speaking for everyone versus me having my own story. And then you're able to share your story and that person is able to share that story so that they can see that, once again, this is not just exclusive to one person. So it's making sure that people have that space to where they can get that power that they need in order to be leaders and speak up and tell their stories about what they've experienced.
So what are you doing in your role as community organizer? How do you get everyone together to talk about their stories and do it in a way that is packaged, if you will, to get to the policymaker so that they can start addressing some of the concerns? How do you do that in your specific role?
So my specific role is, you know, the community organizer. So as a community organizer, I do a lot of the tabling and the first contact, right? So it's big on relationship building. So I normally do an orientation. And in this orientation, I pose these questions, right? But you have to first, you know, get that relationship building in there. And then, you know, you get people to understand that, you know, you don't have to settle, or in another way, I would say, become complacent, right? Like, you don't have to, if you want to be luxury, if you want to live luxury, you can do that. If you want to create multi-generational wealth, you can do that. And as the community organizer, it's just really getting people together, like through listening sessions, through orientations, through workshops, and really building them up so that they can understand their own power. Because part of being a community organizer is pushing the leadership. Like, I can't just be a leader by myself. I have to push other people to be leaders. And like I said, through community organizing, that is the main practice. It's just making sure that I'm developing leaders to go out there. So when we do go to city council, maybe, you know, I might have pointed out somebody who's a leader and can actually speak at the town hall meeting and be able to articulate and say, hey, these are my experiences and I'm here to speak on that and bring awareness to it.
That's great. That's great. Where is the support coming from for the work that you're doing? Are there major industry or businesses or other nonprofits that are helping you in your journey?
Yes. So essentially, like I said, we focus on organizing, advocating, and coalition building, right? Because we have to, I give a visual. If I could give you a visual, I would say, you know, with the war that's going on, right? The war is between Ukraine and Russia, but they have allies, right? So Ukraine, although it's small, has allies of the U.S., of Mexico, Canada, these big places. So that shows you through coalition building that you're able to get people or other organizations on board with you in order to further move your goal, right? So right now we're working with IE Works, and that's how we are developing the pre-apprenticeship. So we have partnered with IE Works and we are putting our first cohort through. And the IE Works centers on the water industry.
Okay. Okay. That's really interesting. So did IE Works come to you, or did you all go to them, or how did you all get this together? I want you to talk a little bit about that, and then why the water industry is the partner, how that works with everything.
Great. So basically there was a program up north called Baywork, and there was a new board of directors that came over the water district out here in the IE. So Lola and group of the board of directors for the IE Black Workers Center partnered with IE Works in order, well, with Bay Works in order to bring IE Works down here to the IE. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, this union or this partnership has allowed us to bring attention to the fact that Blacks are underrepresented in the water industry. You know, currently only 5% of Blacks are employed in the water industry, But 30% of individuals in the water sector are actually going to be retiring out. So there is space for us, you know, space for Black folks in the water sector. And in the water industry, you know, they offer above average pay. They offer benefits, you know, it's union backed and there are advancement opportunities. And the thing about it is you only need to have a high school diploma and, you know, maybe one or two water courses from a junior college in order to, you know, the requirements to be able to work in the water sector. And for a lot of people, they don't even know that, you
right.
know,
mm-hmm.
and we deserve access to quality jobs mm-hmm. and people shouldn't have to go to school and get $50,000 worth of debt, you know, when there are, you know, other sectors that are open to you and you don't even have to have a college diploma in order to make $60,000 a year.
Right. And that really opens up opportunities for so many more people because you're right. We're hearing a lot now. I mean, just on the news recently about, you know, we're the can down the road again on this, you know, repayment of student loans. This is like the seventh extension, right? Since
right.
the first one started with the pandemic. And that is a real indicator that, look, people aren't able to do this, right? There's a lot of problems with that system. And maybe that is something that, you know, the president really just needs and Congress needs to go ahead and deal with. People want that to go away. And a lot of people are giving second thought to why should I, you know, put myself in the position of going to a four-year school, you know, having to spend all this money and incurring all this debt. And then I may or may not get a job where I would be able to pay this back, or that's going to pay wages enough for me to support my family. We're hearing a lot of that
right.
from folks. So this program that you're describing really opens up the door and provides more options for people. You don't necessarily have to go the traditional four-year college route in order to get a good position, a meaningful position, something that really helps society and helps
right.
your community and can be what we call family supporting. You know what I mean? It's not a situation where, you know, you're working 40 hours a week and you don't really have anything to show for it. These are jobs where you put in your time and then you can pay your bills and you might have a little something left over to go do something fun, you know? So that is really, really encouraging to hear. I'm curious how the city councils that you've made presentations to in the region, how have about the program, the apprenticeships and all, how are they responding to what you were doing?
So we are like extremely new, like just kicked off in December. So our plans are to go get put on the docket and speak, you know, to get our pre-apprenticeship, you know, highlight it. And in this time, though, I have, you know, spoke with Councilwoman Kimberly Calvin. I actually did a tabling event last Saturday and was able to, you know, talk to her a little bit more about what it is that we're doing. And, you know, I told her that we wanted to get put on the agenda. And she's like, yeah, just email me, you know, we'll talk about this.
And what city is
San Bernardino.
San Bernardino. Okay. Very
yes.
good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And that'll be the beginning. And, you know, you'll probably have to take it on the road and go see, some other city councils or maybe even the county board of supervisors. Sometimes if you can get to that group that can address things throughout the region, maybe without you having to go to each individual city. It depends on how, you know, you want to roll things out. So that's very encouraging. Talk to me a little bit about how you see the future of IEBWC. If you could paint the perfect picture of how this organization is helping people in the community, what does that look like for you?
So for me, it looks impactful. It looks intentional. It looks like changing lives and understanding that, you know, Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement was just one piece of the things that we're going to go through, right? but it's up to us to pick up those pieces and keep moving. So the future for the IABWC, in my eyes, it looks like really making that impact in the communities, and especially in San Bernardino. And it looks like giving people inspiration, you know, work with a great team. My team is awesome. And the work itself is inspiring. So it just pours out in the work that we do. So I feel like, you know, we're going to really, really impact the 350,000 Black folks that live in the IE by being able to help develop a workforce development for us here in the IE with good jobs. And those good jobs don't have to be warehouse work or low wage work, right? And these can be careers and just helping our folks be more resourceful and educating them on workers' rights education and how to file grievances or any other issues that they might be facing in the workplace. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you got into this kind of work. Why are you doing this?
So I got my bachelor's from Cal State San Bernardino, which was a bachelor's in psychology. In my undergrad, I took this class called Industrial and Organizational Psychology. And then I was kind of like, oh, maybe I'll minor in this, maybe not. But I knew I needed to kind of focus on what I wanted to do in psychology. I went on to Cal Baptist and I got my master's in industrial and organizational psychology. And industrial and organizational psychology is psychology of the workplace. So like performance appraisals, employee engagement, Gallup Q12 surveys, assessments, data analysis. But like many people, you know, that go to school here in the IE, I get out of school and there's not a lot of good jobs out here in the IE. Let's just be serious. If I want to make good money, I have to go to LA, San Diego, or Orange County. And for me, I knew I wanted to make impact from where I'm from. You know, like these people, we should be able to go to college here and then be able to give right back to our community right here without having to relocate to another major city in order to do so. But I ended up, you know, making sure that, like I said, I wanted to make that impact right here in the community. So I became an agency social worker. Mm-hmm. And so after doing the agency social work for some time, I felt like I needed and I wanted to transition. Mm-hmm. And my mom had took this survey from the SoCal Black Worker Hub. And they were running these stories called the Essential Stories, and they were developing surveys. And I just thought to myself, you know, how cool would it be to be a part of an organization that, you know, really focuses on making sure that Black people are thriving in the workplace. And I went to school for, you know, psychology in the workplace. So everything just aligned, and I knew that I could use my skills, such as like my relationship building skills, my interpersonal skills, and things of that nature in order to really connect with the community and possibly sway them over, because that's what the job is, you know, trying to get people to understand that they deserve more and that they should want more for themselves. But how do you really do that? You know, when we have been programmed in order to think a certain way. So, you know, you can't try to, well, you can, but it's hard to change people's mindsets after, you know, they've been living a certain way for so long.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Getting people to believe what's possible for them is sometimes very hard. That's why we always say, you know, you need to see it in order to believe it. There are always those pioneers, those leaders who don't see themselves somewhere, but they still push and they may get there. They may achieve that goal. But for a lot of people, if they don't see that person in that spot, they don't think it's possible for them. So that's why that representation is so critical. It's so important. And for people to feel like that they are worthy and they deserve success and that there is a path for them. And it may not be the same path that everybody else takes or that a lot of other people take, but it is valid and valuable and something that is good that they should pursue and can achieve something and have success in their lives. I want you to talk about something that you referenced a little earlier, your team. Who do you have working with you and what do they do? And talk about why you enjoy working with them so much.
Yes, definitely. So, okay, I work with Dr. Thomas. He is the associate director and he's who I like directly report to right underneath, but we have our interim director, which is Will Scott, and we have a consulting team, project management team with us. And like I said, for me, the team dynamics is a little different because I'm the younger one and everyone, you know, I want to say is probably about 55 mm-hmm. plus. Besides mm-hmm. the project management team, I would say they're probably in their mid-30s. Mm-hmm. So we have a range of different concepts, of different ideas, of different ways of doing things, right?
Yeah.
So being able to sit down with like common people who are truly, really doing this for other people, that's what I'm saying. Like the work, it's like, it's empowering. Like it almost gives you chills just thinking about it. You know, when you come in and you really see the impact that you're making, and you're like, wow, like this person's life is going to be changed and we're just doing our job. But the work is so fulfilling. But yeah, so working with Dr. Thomas, he's a great mentor. He has a lot of experience. So for me, I'm just there learning from everyone and, you know, taking pieces. Like we all give pieces because we all have different skills and different strengths, yeah. right? But yeah. it's getting together and like I said, having that common goal. Luckily, we all have that common goal and that common mindset. So we just all indulge in our skills and like, hey, so I'm good at this. You're good at that. Like, how can we make this work? There's times I might step in, you know, as the younger person, right?
Yeah.
to talk to my generation or to really get people moving. So I'm just very grateful for the team and the whole SoCal Black Worker Hub. We're all under one hub. So, you know, I have correspondence with LA Black Worker Center as well as San Diego Black Worker Center. And just across the board, like I said, we're just all just very like-minded people, all influential, I would say, inspirational, just to see people like at the LA Black Worker Center and at the SoCal Black Worker Hub, there's women that are my age, you know, like more in their 20s. So it's like, okay, yes, sis, like I get to go to work and see people that look like me. And like I said, people that are on one accord, mm-hmm. moving towards one goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how do people in the general public, people listening to this podcast, what can the rest of us do to help support the work that you are doing?
It's a great question. So we always need volunteers and our volunteers, we have them, you know, organizing or phone banking. And ultimately, our volunteers are going to be our base to really get things moving. So I feel like it's important for us to know that you might not be unemployed, but still we have duties. We have duties to give back, right? So just because you're not unemployed and you don't need the Black Workers Center doesn't mean that you shouldn't be able to volunteer your skills or whatever you're good at. So like get up and try to figure out how you can get involved because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. we have to come together as a community. You know, we need our allies too, right?
Right.
It's, you know, we can't do everything by ourselves. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you might not be Black, right? But if you are an ally, you can still push the agenda. You can still figure out how you can fit into this. And then lastly, we always need donors and funders mm-hmm. who align with our mission.
Absolutely. Nothing gets done without the cash.
Yes, yes. Money speaks. And that's why it's important that we build this economic security. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes down to policy and when it comes down to everything, money is the only thing that's going to talk. So the only way to make sure you have money is to make sure you have good employment. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have to start with employment first.
Very good. Very good. Now, where do people go to find out more information about IEBWC?
Yes, you can visit us on our website, www.iebwc.org. You could also follow us on Instagram and Facebook, you know, to stay current with our events. And lastly, you can contact me directly at 909-601-6242.
That's awesome. Dominique Dean, community organizer with the IEBWC. Thank you so much for coming on SoCal Voices and sharing about the wonderful work that the Worker Center is doing for young Black people, for Black people as a community, and just pushing that equity and justice train. That is really meaningful work. And I wish you all the best as you continue down this journey. Thanks so much. I'm Angela Ross. Thanks for listening to SoCal Voices. Interested in advertising on the podcast? Email us at contactus@socalvoices.com. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at SoCal Voices.